Church White Oak Campus, how's everybody doing this morning? Y'all doing good? Awesome. Well, listen, if I haven't had the opportunity to meet you yet or introduce myself yet, I'm Pastor Nick. I'm the pastor here at the White Oak location of Bridge City Church, and I'm so excited you decided to spend your Sunday morning here with us, worshiping God and praising His name. There's literally no place I'd rather be this side of heaven, obviously, than right here with you all doing exactly what I just mentioned. And it's an exciting season here at Bridge City Church because we're leading up to Easter. And today we're going to kick off the few preachings before we get to Easter. And it's just entitled Easter at Bridge City Church. We want you to be focused on what these few weeks have to offer when we lead up to celebrating that the tomb is empty on Easter Sunday. And I just want to pray, and then we're going to jump into a few things. But Father God, I thank you so much for everything you've done this morning so far, God. God, I pray that you would continue to have your way throughout our worship experience, God, that everything that we do would be honoring and glorifying to you. And God, that we would be a group of people that wouldn't just hear your word, but we would walk it out in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Before we get into the message, I want to talk about a few things. Obviously, we're going to talk about the invites you have on your seats. But downstairs, as you came in, there was a photo wall, right? Did you see it? Did anybody see it? Did anybody utilize it yet? What is this for? Great job. This is for you to be able to utilize the social media outlets that you're on, right? It's really easy to post a picture. It's really easy to post that picture and tag the church or tag that He is risen or tag that Easter at Bridge City Church. We want you to be able to feel comfortable with inviting people in your world to experience what you've experienced at Bridge City Church, which is a living God. Amen. And we want you to be able to do that. So we want to make it as easy as possible for you to do so. Why? Because this season is important. And I want you to know that I don't want you to just be able to say that you felt something today or you just experienced something today. I don't want you to just hear something today. I want you to grab a hold of something today that's going to push you forward outside of this place. I don't want you to just say, oh, well, that was a nice hour plus worship experience. That the worship team did great, or that was a really great prayer by Rudy and Brennan, or the message was okay from Pastor Nick today. No, I want you to grab something so that you can move forward outside of this place. And as we see that Easter is approaching, I don't want this to just be another date on your calendar. I don't want it to just be another holiday that you walk through with your family and your friends and your neighbors. I don't want it to just be Easter as usual for you. Maybe you're really excited about traditions that you and your family have, but I don't want it to just be that. I want this to be a Sunday that you recognize changed every other Sunday thereafter. This is a moment that we're going to talk about today as Jesus is being led towards the cross that changed everything. Everything in the life and mission of Jesus in these few moments that we're going to talk about today in the verses that we unpack, everything begins to be sharpened. Everything begins to intensify. Everything around Jesus begins to move with an urgency and an importance. Something in the passage that we're going to read in Luke 9 and the beginning of part of Luke 10, something shifts. There's a hard change. And up until now, Jesus had been ministering, he had been teaching and healing, but here, everything becomes focused. The time has come. Luke 9, verse 51, as the time drew near for him to ascend to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. Listen, this is the turning point. This is when things began to shift and change. And I'm so, just in this verse alone, there's so much. As the time drew near, what does that statement point to us? This statement tells us that what was about to happen was not an accident. It wasn't something that just happened. It was something that was planned and a part of a calling, a part of God's mission and purpose. As the time drew near, this was something that was planned to happen. This wasn't an accident. That little statement right there points to that. It wasn't random. It was divine timing. Jesus knew exactly what was ahead of him. He knew that betrayal was before him. He knew that suffering was ahead. He knew that the cross was ahead of him. Now, Jesus doesn't try to run from that. Jesus doesn't try to hide from that fact. Jesus goes full force straight into it. It says in these verses that he became resolute. Jesus became resolute. The word means fixed in purpose, on purpose, fixed on. He became unshakable. He became fully committed to everything that was going on. Jesus was not just drifting into Jerusalem or rolling into Jerusalem. No, he was pushing towards it. He was focused. Listen, I know that we live in a distracted world. Everywhere around you, there's distractions. Don't look around, but there's distractions to your left and to your right. There's distractions in front of you. There's distractions behind you. We live in a distracted world. What are we distracted by? Our comfort. We're distracted by comfort. Think about the things that you have. Even if you feel like you don't have a lot, you still have comforts in this world that some people will never get to experience. You're sitting in a cozy chair in an air-conditioned room in White Oak, PA. This is comfort. There are people that are worshiping the King right now on with no floor and barely having a roof, and their worship experience is not an hour long. Pastor Rick, how long are the worship experiences in Liberia? Minimum. There's like breaks in between. Pastor Rick had fun one day. He's like, let's go get ice cream. Does anybody want to go get ice cream? And then we'll come back for the later worship experience. There's comforts that we walk in and that we can be distracted by. Here's another one. We're distracted by fear. If I fail, what will happen? If I do this, what will happen? We're afraid to even try. We're distracted by things that truly do not matter. But Jesus shows us something powerful. When you know your purpose, distractions lose their power. So here's the question. What's pulling your focus away from following Jesus fully in your life? What's the comfort that's pulling you away? What's the distraction that's pulling you away? What's that thing that is keeping you from being as laser focused as Jesus is? Verse 52 through 53, he sent messengers ahead to a Samaritan village to prepare for his revival. But the people of the village did not welcome Jesus because he was on his way to Jerusalem. Jesus is moving forward, but not everybody receives him. You, as sons and daughters of the King, you as a follower of Jesus, or even you as someone who's just coming in and trying to figure things out, people aren't always going to receive you. People are going to reject you. People are going to push against maybe the things that you're doing because you're not walking the same way that you used to be. Rejection is not something that might happen. It's something that's promised. When you follow Jesus seriously, and it's not just a casual thing anymore, you will face resistance. It's guaranteed. Not everyone will understand your commitment. And that's okay. Not everyone is going to understand the way that you're walking now. And that's okay. Not everybody is going to welcome your faith. And that's okay. Not everyone will agree with the direction you're headed. And that's okay. Think about just going on a family road trip or going on a road trip with friends. You can barely get the people in the car to agree which way to go. We're taking a toll road. No, we're not. We're stopping at Starbucks. I don't like it there. Well, we'll stop at Dunkin'. Well, I didn't say I didn't want Starbucks. I'll find something I like. Right? People aren't always going to be in agreement with what you're doing and how you're doing it and how you're getting there. But notice that in these verses, Jesus didn't stop. There were distractions abound, but he didn't stop. He kept moving. Rejection did not derail him from his mission. Verses 54 through 55, when James and John saw this, they said to Jesus, Lord, should we call down fire from heaven to burn them up? That's a gangster. I mean, that's how you know people are riding with you, right? Lord, would you like us to burn them? Like, they're riding at that point. They're down for whatever's going to go down because they're trying to call down fire, right? But Jesus turned and rebuked them. Like, imagine you're walking with Jesus. You're like, Jesus, you want us to kill him? And Jesus isn't appreciative of the sentiment, right? The disciples got distracted, though. Jesus doesn't. The disciples got distracted by what was going on around them and the people that they were experiencing and the things that were trying to knock them off the mission. Jesus was focused on the mission, but guess what the disciples were focused on? The offense. Why aren't they receiving him? Let's kill him. Why aren't they welcoming him? Let's burn him up. The disciples are such an example of you and I. We get focused on everything else instead of the purpose and the mission. There's so many things that can distract us. We already went through that. And then if somebody offends us, we want that to be something that's going to stop us from moving. The disciples wanted the people around them that weren't receiving them to experience judgment right then and there. The disciples wanted judgment, but Jesus wanted to keep moving towards salvation. He knew the mission. One of the biggest distractions from following Jesus for us is us getting caught up in the wrong battles. There's battles all around us. There's distractions all around us. And sometimes we get caught up in the wrong ones. We get caught up in arguing instead of reaching. We get wrapped up in social media debates instead of reaching for people to meet Jesus. We get wrapped up in judging instead of loving. We want to judge everything and every situation and every person. We want to judge it all instead of loving people into the kingdom so that they could meet the judge. We get caught up in reacting instead of staying on mission. Jesus had opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to just react. He did not. He kept moving. Jesus rebuked them because they lost sight of what matters. We do not exist to destroy people. We exist to reach them. Because there are people all around you and outside of these walls that will do anything to try to destroy you. And if you just keep trying to reach them and reach them and reach them, it's amazing how people change things up when they see that you're representing God. You're not worried about what people think of you. You're representing the King. Stay on mission. What's the mission? For us to see a community around this place changed and transformed forever. For us to see our neighborhoods changed, our family trees changed, our workplaces changed. That is what the mission is. And Jesus was being so focused on that. Luke 9, verse 56. So they went on to another village. This verse is so powerful in its simplicity. So they moved on. I mean, the disciples threatened to call down fire from heaven. Jesus said, no, we're going to keep it moving. They moved on to another village. There was no drama. There was no anger. There was no frustration. There was no moment of pause, just movement, no delay. But imagine all of us if we would have had, can you believe this? They were going to call fire down from heaven. Who was? James and John. What did Jesus say? No. Oh. Well, what are you guys going to do now? We're going to keep moving. We would still be talking about that in so many ways in our culture today. Live at 5, local disciples threaten to call down fire from heaven, but their leader says no. Jesus kept moving. So what does this look like for us? When something doesn't work out as we planned, what should we do? Keep moving. When someone says no, or we don't get that job, or we didn't get that acceptance letter, what should we do? Keep moving. When one door closes, what do we do? Keep knocking. Keep moving. Keep trying more doors. You don't quit. You keep moving because the mission is bigger than whatever moment you may be going through. Luke 9, verses 57 through 62. And they were walking along, and someone said to Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go. But Jesus replied, foxes have dens to live in and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to even lay his head. He said to another person, come follow me. The man agreed, but he said, Lord, first let me return home and bury my father. But Jesus told him, let the spiritually dead bury their own dead. Your duty is to go and preach about the kingdom of God. Another said, yes, Lord, I will follow you, but first let me say goodbye to my family. But Jesus told him, anyone who puts a hand to the plow and then looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. In these verses, people are saying, Jesus, I want to follow you. Yes, Jesus, I'll follow you, but I'm going to do it on my conditions. I'm going to do it on my terms. I'm going to do it when the timing works for me. You may be sitting there today and you may be like, I would never do that to Jesus. We do it all the time. Oh, well, I don't know if I can go to the 8. The 11, 15 just works so much better for me. Right? Well, I don't know if I can go to the 11, 15. Brunch is over at 10. And if I get to the 8, I'll get there. We do it all the time. Jesus says, follow me, but each one of the people that he said it to had a condition. And Jesus responds with such an intensity that it almost feels uncomfortable. It really does. Jesus, I want to follow you, but my dad died. Well, he's dead. Let him bury him. He's follow me. What? Jesus, I want to follow you, but I would like to stop home and say goodbye to my family. They can wait. They'll be there when you get back. What? Why does it make us feel uncomfortable, though? All Jesus is doing is showing us that following him should not be a casual thing. It should be a costly one. If your relationship with Jesus hasn't cost you anything, I would ask you if you're really following him. And that might have made you uncomfortable, but that's great because these verses should make us uncomfortable. Our relationship with Jesus should not just cost him something. It should cost us some things too. And us being able to follow him means that we're going to put the things behind us that are trying to distract us. And this is an example of distractions don't always look bad. They don't. What are some good distractions? Here's some good ones. Responsibilities. You can't just leave your responsibilities. Relationships. Some relationships are good distractions. I love my wife. She's great. She's a distraction, though, but she's a good one. Like in the best sense of that word, she's a great distraction. I love being distracted by Rachel. It's great. But there's time I say, Rachel, listen, stop distracting me. I've got things to do. And she's like, thank God. Thank you, Lord. He has things to do so he could stop distracting me. That's what she's thinking. Distractions don't always look bad. Sometimes there are reasonable delays. Jesus, I'm going to be there, but I need to do this first. Not because I'm putting that before you. But listen, it's okay to have some distractions that are healthy ones sometimes, but Jesus is making it really clear. If anything comes before him and you allow it to, that's a distraction that you need to get out of the way. You need to get rid of it. So let's keep going here because the urgency only continues to build. The urgency increases. Now we move into chapter 10 and the urgency rises even more. Verse 1, chapter 10. The Lord now chose 72 other disciples and sent them ahead in pairs to all the towns and places that he had planned to visit. Jesus just multiplied the mission. Jesus just expanded the urgency of the mission that they were on. He was sending others ahead of him. Why? Because time was too short and they needed to spread the message. This is where we come in. This is where you and I come in. We're the ones that are sent before him now. And you may be thinking, well, where am I being sent? To the grocery store. Some of you are going to be sent over to Plaza later this afternoon. Some of you are going to be blessed and highly favored enough to be sent to Tilly's Italian restaurant. Only the best. Some of you may be blessed to go to a sporting event later this afternoon. Some of you may be blessed to go home, get a nap, and then come back for the cleaning day. And then you're going to be sent to go pick up cleaning supplies, maybe at Home Depot or something, and that you're going to be your mission field today. There's an urgency, though, to wherever we get sent and whatever we're called to do, and Jesus knew that time was short, and they needed to go from town to town to town. The mission of Jesus was never meant to be done by just a few. It was meant to be done by all of us. So where are you being sent? Monday through Saturday. You're being sent to your workplace. You're being sent to your school. You're being sent to your family, to your community. That's where you're being sent. Maybe you already filled out a prayer card with the people that you're believing for to invite to Easter. There's invites on your seat next to you or under you. There's two invites on there. I want you to grab those two invites, and I want you to think about two different people. When I said that there are people that are hurting, that are way more open to invitation this Easter, I want you to take one of those invites and give that to the person that you thought of then, that hurting person. Then I want you to take the other invite, and I want you to think about that person that is, you know, that they're open to an invitation. They just need to receive it. They're open to hope. They desire it. Each of you have thought of people during this whole message that you could invite, that you could invest in, that you could go and reach out to. Those are what those invites are for. They're not for you. You're already invited. The mission of Jesus was never meant to be done by just a few. It was meant for all of us. And you're not just saved. You're a sent ahead one. You're not someone who's just saved from your past. You're someone that was sent into somebody else's present. Luke 10, verse 2. These were his instructions to them. The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest and ask him to send more workers into his fields. This is it. This is the moment that I want you to feel, not just hear. The harvest is great. There are people that are ready. There are people that are searching. There are people that are hurting. There are people that are open to experiencing hope. And guess what? There's way more people than you could ever think of. That's who we want you to invite. The workers are few, not because there aren't believers. There's tons of believers, millions upon millions upon millions of believers. But there's a lot of believers that are way too distracted. And that's truth. We're easily distracted. There's too many believers that are too comfortable. It's time to get uncomfortable again for the mission. There's too many believers that are waiting for somebody else to do it. Oh, my neighbor really needs Jesus. I hope somebody introduces him someday. You know, that person that works down the hall, they're miserable. I pray they meet Jesus one day. Somebody could maybe do that. We wait thinking that we have all this time, but we don't. There's an urgency. Jesus doesn't say, when you get around to it, or eventually. No, Jesus says, pray now, go now, get to moving. Easter's coming, church. The moment when people are more open than almost any other time of year. The harvest is great, but will you respond? Will you respond? So what is this call that I'm asking you to walk in? Because if there's a message without a call to action, what do we do? I just want you to be like Jesus. I want you to set your focus like Jesus did. I want you to be resolute, laser focused. I will not be distracted. Make that decision on the front end. I will not be distracted from the mission that God's put before me. Invite someone. Be a worker in the harvest. Pray for that one person. Think of that one person that you put on that card that needs hope. Take one step and invite them. A simple invitation can change someone's eternity. Don't just let those cards be a good idea. Let them be something that you're really going to invest in. And maybe you didn't fill one out. There's plenty more over there. And there's plenty more space. Like, no, there isn't, Pastor Nick. Only up top. Double park the cards. Put them on top of each other. Write the names, pray over them, and act on it. And then just listen. We want you to invite people to Easter. Yes, yes, we do. 100%. But we want you to experience Good Friday. Good Friday, Friday here at noon. This is going to be a time for us, for the people that already know Jesus and what he did on the cross for us, to remember and reflect upon everything that he did on that cross for us. We're not asking you to invite tons of people to Good Friday. You can. But this is a moment for us to remember all that we've already received. Saturday and Sunday, it's for everybody outside these walls. Go get them. Maybe you're going to make a plan already that you're going to attend the 4 o'clock on Saturday with all the people you invite, and you're going to attend the 9:30 on Sunday with your family. That's why we're having 5, so that you can do that. We're having Good Friday so that you can fully understand the sacrifice that was poured out for you and for I, so that on Saturday and Sunday we can fully celebrate the fact that that tomb is empty. Jesus was resolute. He refused distractions. He kept moving with urgency. And here it is, church, the time's come. The time has come for us to reap the harvest that God has for us. The time has come for us to see that the moment is now. We can't wait. And there's an urgency attached to everything that we're doing. So here's my last question for you today. It's not whether or not you feel like God is moving in our midst. I know that he is. You know that he is. The question is, are you going to move with him? Or are you going to get distracted? Maybe you were invited here today. You don't have a day, a time, a place where you receive Jesus and what he did on the cross for you. I've been praying for you. I've been praying that this Easter would be different than any other Easter for you. So if you don't have a day, a time, a place where you've removed all the distractions around you and you received what Jesus Christ did on the cross, let today be your day. Let today be the day that you profess with your mouth and believe in your heart that he is Lord. That means leader of your future. If you don't have that day, I'm going to ask you to do one of the bravest things you've ever done and just slip your hand up to heaven and say, God, that's me. I don't have a day, a time, a place where I've received you. But I know I need to. I know that I don't want this Easter to be like every other Easter. Anyone at all today? Lord, help us to become so focused on your mission that we would remove all distractions from our hearts, from our minds, from our calendars. Lord, break our comfort and awaken an urgency within us. Lord, help us to see the harvest the way that you see it. And give us the boldness to step into your mission.